I kind of like that one. That's another derivative. I think when Mick Schaefer was doing the shows on Saturdays, once he usually was pretty good about knowing the music.
Yeah, he's like sneaky hip.
Yes. He listens to some stuff that I don't, so I'm sneaky about the hip hop, so old school hip hop. So, all right, this is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB, having a musical conversation to start the hour with Josh Briscoe. I am Brad Porter, formerly of Metro Sports. Coming up later in the hour, we'll talk with Royals former Royals pitcher Al Fitzmaurice about the offseason ahead and wait maybe on the horizon for the Kansas City Royals. Right now, though, we want to talk some Chiefs football with former offensive lineman Richard Baldinger, who I worked with for almost 20 years at the station formerly known as Metro Sports. Richard, how are you on this Saturday?
I'm doing great, sir. How about yourself?
I'd be doing better if the Chiefs were doing better. Not only has it been a bad stretch for the past month, 6 weeks, 7 weeks. I mean, the back-to-back-to-backs to the Giants, Bills, and Jets was demoralizing.
Yeah, I know. I was back in New Jersey. I got a few arrows thrown at me when I was back there about that. To lose to the Jets and the Bills and the Giants in the same year could be classic. I guess we could classify that as being insane or something to think about something like that. But yeah, it is frustrating, Brad. It really is. You know, here's a team that lost the, you know, a tough playoff game to Pittsburgh. You think they were going to bounce back this year? Had a lot of components to the team and the way they started the year off and the physicality, but yet one game they lose again the Steelers in the regular season, and the season's kind of gone up in a puff of smoke. So hopefully they can find a way on Sunday, but I'm not really sure if they can or not.
Well, and in particular about this three-week stretch for the Chiefs, all three losses heading into the Raiders game tomorrow, particularly frustrating for me is trying to figure out how they're losing it so many different ways. They lose to the Giants in overtime. They only score 9 points. They lose to the Bills by only scoring 10 points, lost 16-10 in a game they should have won. And then they go to New York to face the Jets and score 31 and still find a way to lose. I'm not sure what the fix is if they're losing in so many different ways. There's so many things wrong right now.
I think that's why the Almighty invented vodka to help you through the weekend. It is. But you know what, though, Brad? When you look at all these games, the one common denominator, you know, last week one of my keys was, you know, let's give up on the running game. Let's get away from the power physicality, and let's airmail this football out. I felt like with some of the issues the Jets had in the back end and the speed we have and get the best tight end in the league and probably the fastest wide receiver in the league, that, you know, let's take our chances. It worked out well. But even in this game, even in the game against the Jets, if the explosive plays didn't take place, the Chiefs would have lost this game probably 38-6. Because in the red zone, it was a disaster. Four drives, even at the end of the game, they can't even get the ball in the end zone, couldn't get the ball thrown to the end zone. So I don't know what it is. This team in the red zone for the last 6-7 weeks has just been basically awful. But I think that's a microcosm of the team itself. They're undisciplined, the mistakes they make, and it just seems to rear its head consistently. Every play when you watch film, there's somebody doing something wrong. And you know, I know that this is the greatest team sport in the world, and if you're not all on the same page, even if you are, the odds are that something could go wrong. But if somebody's doing their own thing, that's what it seems like. The Chiefs continue to fail, and that's why they're not successful when they need to put points on the board.
This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm Brad Porter. We're talking with former Chiefs offensive lineman Richard Baldinger. Baldy, you mentioned if you have a breakdown by one player on any play, it could cost you yardage and points. I went to the game at Arrowhead against the Bills as a fan, and I sat up high. And I kind of like sitting up high, and especially if you can get to a corner and you can see the plays going away from you and coming towards you. And what I saw in particular on the Chiefs defense was a team that did not understand what it was supposed to do and players who did not understand where they were supposed to be. Or maybe they were ignoring the play call. I don't know.
Well, I mean, there's definitely some miscommunication, especially in the back end of this defense. But, you know, it's frustrating, Brad, because last year Terrence Mitchell came in as a corner for us. and filled in well. I thought the guy played admirably. I thought he tackled well. I was like, oh, my, we have a corner over here. You know, it balanced out the defense. But this year, that's been a question mark for us on that side. The nickel corner simply has not existed for us this year. So, and then again, I think you're trying to compensate probably sometimes. Some people are. They're trying to do more what they can, and then that can be even be worse. So I would agree with you. I think there is some miscommunication. I think some of the things the coaches are doing, I have question marks. But then again, when you're struggling, when you're losing games and you're trying to do anything you can to salvage a victory, you're going to basically, you know what, throw one against the wall and hopefully something sticks. And it just hasn't. And believe me, I've been on that side with these players. You know, I went through the 80s. I've been through some tough times. You know, there's nothing worse than an NFL athlete. We're the most paranoid people. And you can have one bad practice and it can lead on to other things that – go into a game, and, you know, that's where leadership and coaching has got to try to help these players. And I just don't think they've been there this year. And that's the one fault I got to say about Andy. It just feels like his team, after the loss to Pittsburgh, just hasn't played with the same confidence level. And, it rears itself like down in the red zone or defense not needing where they need to be and stopping the run against the Jets. And so it's a tough thing, and, you know, either you got it or you don't, and right now that's what makes me worried about this team. I just don't see them coming back from that loss of confidence this year.
We're talking with Richard Baldinger, former Chiefs offensive lineman, here on Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. One of the things, Larry Johnson, former Chiefs running back, we had him on as a guest last night on the Friday night show, and it was a far-reaching and expansive conversation about things on and off the field. One of the on-field things we talked about was running the football. And in particular, he noted in his own career, he made a mistake one time. He ran through the wrong hole, and Will Shields absolutely, verbally tore him apart. And Larry Johnson said, I didn't make that mistake again because I didn't want to let those guys down, and they held me accountable. Right now, the Chiefs are not running the football. Whether that's on the offensive line, whether that's the play call, or whether Kareem Hunt maybe doesn't get something, maybe he's worn down, I don't know. But there's nobody, at least that we've been able to see, who can get on guys and rally the troops and straighten it out. The run game is flat missing right now.
Oh, yeah, it's been missing for quite a while. That's why one of my goals last week and Sunday morning was, hey, we've got to go with a different philosophy, a different mentality, because what we've been trying to do is establish the run and control the line of scrimmage and then exert your will in the second half. And, you know, that's the frustrating thing. We started off the season, we were doing that. We saw that against New England. We saw that against Houston. But now there's just no confidence you're right. There is accountability, and, you know, there's the coaching, but there's also the players. And I thought this was a problem last year in the Steelers' loss. I mean, who's the guy out there? Who is the guy that loses it on the sidelines and chews some butt and says, hey, you know, enough of this performance on the field, this lackluster walking around on the field like you're in a fog. And, you know, even the announcers in the game were saying things like, you know, the Chiefs just don't have a direction right now. So, yeah, I got to lay some of this on the veteran players. They haven't stood up and do what they have to do. And, you know, this is a demanding sport. You know, we always talk about the physical side, but the mental side is twice as hard. And you got to stay focused week in and week out. And the players haven't. And I haven't seen the leadership out of this team this year. I just haven't quite seen it. And it's proven costly for this team. It has proven costly. And is that part of the quarterback's issue? Maybe some. Maybe he's not the most vocal guy. But there's got to be somebody there that makes these guys play at a different level, because we just haven't seen it.
And you're almost too late in the season to still be searching for that person who's going to take ownership and demand excellence from his teammates. And we'll see if it gets straightened out. We're talking with Richard Baldinger, former Chiefs offensive lineman, here on Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. I am Brad Porter. All right, Richard, this is Raiders week. You know this from having played years with the Chiefs. I know this having grown up a Chiefs fan. But Raiders week has seemed to have lost its luster over the last few years. The coaches don't really talk about it the way Marty and Gunther did. And I don't need them to. They don't have to get up and jump up and down on the podium. But they don't hold it the same way that the team used to. And the players don't either. Many of them are friends off the field, and that's fine. I'm fine with that. But it's lost its luster a little bit. And having said that, this may be the biggest Chiefs-Raiders matchup, the most important matchup between these two in, what, 6, 7, 8 years? I mean, your division is on the line right now on Sunday afternoon at Arrowhead Stadium.
Yeah, a lot of question marks about this Kansas City Chief, and one of them is called the gut check. You know, does this year mean something to you, or are we just going to walk away from it? And that's when you begin to wonder. I mean, the fans have been there for, and the fans are demanding answers, and they want to see something on the field. So as a player, you understand that. You know, Brad, it didn't really matter to me, the opponent. You know, it could be whatever, because they were all good athletes, and I was a terrible athlete. So, you know, every Sunday you had to come ready to play. You know, there was one thing I was taught young. You know, when you cross the white line, it's a brawl. And somebody's going to try to hand your head to you. And you got to fight for 60 minutes. And that's what it was. And, you know, we just haven't seen from this players this year. We've seen it at times. And it's frustrating because, you know, the level of talent that's on the field is probably more than the Chiefs have had in a long time. But yet, as they always say, it's not talent that wins games. It's, you know, it's a team that plays together. And we're not a team playing together. And as I said, your mistakes are just constant on this team. It's an undisciplined team. Maybe not in the sense that they're getting in fights and things like that, but it's the mistakes, and that's why we're highly penalized, and those things come back to haunt you. So going into this Raider week, whether it's the Raiders or not, where this team's been at and what you've displayed on the field and the losses we've talked about, that should be enough motivation coming home to want to change things around, and hopefully they can do it against the Raiders, who are playing pretty good football right now. That's what's going to make it difficult for us.
Yeah, the Raiders have won two in a row. Three of their last four, those wins came against the Dolphins, who are so-so, the Broncos, who are bad, and the Giants, who are bad. But they beat the bad teams that the Chiefs have not beaten. The Raiders will be without Amari Cooper. The Chiefs will be without Marcus Peters. And again, the division is on the line for both of these teams. If you're, as you talk about, if you're looking for the game in which the Chiefs need to be physically dominant, this is it. And if they can't get up and do it for this game, it might be over. And I'm kind of wondering, Richard, with John Dorsey in the news this week, taking over at Cleveland, I'm wondering if Andy Reid or some of the other folks in the Chiefs personnel department looked at how John Dorsey directed the draft last year, who they got, who could possibly make an impact, and thought, we don't have it, and John needs to go. And now what you're seeing this late in the season is the Chiefs perhaps don't have the depth that they needed to weather a couple of injuries. They didn't draft the right talent. It's not there. The guys who were drafted, it's not there.
Oh, I agree with you on that, partner. I mean, listen, even last year he had a bad back for part of the season, but even then I would take him. Dontari Poe, miss him tremendously. Who's the other guy that we missed up front, especially in pass rush? How about Jay Howard? That was a guy that no matter what, inside could get a press. He could squeeze the pocket. Chris Jones was this year. Sometimes, yes, but a lot of times, no. You need the consistency. So to answer your question, without a doubt, we need a talent infusion here on both sides of the line, the defensive line and the offensive line. And, of course, we need another corner. Of course, we need linebacker help here. So that's what makes this frustrating now, Brad, in the sense that we all know coming in this year, the way the season started off, the way Alex was playing, the way the guys up front were blocking, I think, okay, we got a chance with the unit we have. They're coming back. Justin Houston is healthy. We can put this together because we all know year in and year out with the salary cap, the movement of players, you never know. You don't know. And that's the big question mark going in next year. Who's going to be on this team? I suspect there's going to be a few new faces, and then it's all on the unknown again. You're rebuilding an offensive line. You're rebuilding a defensive line. Okay, it takes time to work the other unit. How quick can we put this together and things? So that's what makes this frustrating. You thought you had the chance last year and then this year. You're thinking, all right, we've got the basic unit. Now it doesn't happen. And if it doesn't tomorrow, then you're thinking, oh, no, here we go again. You start that building of the foundation again. And we all know that it's not always talent. It's getting all those guys working together. And you're just wondering right now if all these players are all pulling in the same direction. It has to be something like that, Brad, because you just don't play so good on one side of the ball one week and then so bad at the ball on the other side of the week. I just don't feel like these players are on the same page and believe they can get it done. And that's why they continue their frustrating losses.
And that's why I said I couldn't figure it out when you look at the first two games in that three-game stretch, the Giants and the Bills was one way bad, and then against the Jets it was the other way bad. So that leads to my next question then. We're talking with Richard Baldinger, former Chiefs offensive lineman here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I am Brad Porter. So if people are not on the same page and you're this late in the season, that we can talk about the talent, the lack of talent, and the fact that most of the drafted players have not had an impact, but there's also something perhaps wrong on the coaching staff. And Andy Reid is going to have to sit down at the end of the season and take a good hard look at his staff and see if he's got the right coaches in the right places, or do some guys just need to be gone?
Oh, I mean, there's no question about it. And, Brad, I'm sorry to say, this goes all the way to the very top. This is going to go, you know, this is going to go to Clark Hunt. Listen, we gave the extension to Andy Reid, but now you have to look at this whole picture. You have to look at the complete picture on this thing. And there's nobody excluded on this. Brett Veach, too, is going to be involved with this. Everybody down the line is going to be involved with this, because you can't have this type of season. And, listen, everybody goes through a slump. You cover baseball. You understood it. Guys would just go to hitting slump. It happens. You come out of it. You try to get hot when the playoffs start. You're back into the season. That happens. It takes place. That's sports. But this is a team that cannot find its way out of a phone booth right now. They continue to really, do they believe they can finish and come out on top? Is it important to them to come out on top? I don't want to sound like I'm challenging the players' manlyhood or they want to play or not play, but yet it is what it is on the field. So I agree with you, top to bottom, players, assistant coaches, and all the way to the head coach. Is this the guy that wants to take us? Is he the guy that can still write the ship course? Sometimes the message after a while just isn't the same. And yeah, you hate to think about another change, you know, new coaching, new general manager, all this and everything. But when you have seasons like this, buddy, and you don't have an answer, when you don't have an answer and you don't see any way of stemming the tide, that's why this game is so important. I think what happens in this game tomorrow really is going to be a telltale sign on how many changes are going to take place in the offseason.
All right, this is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I am your host, Brad Porter. Josh Briscoe is running the board. Our guest is former Chiefs offensive lineman Richard Baldinger. When you look at this, let's kind of get more into the game that we're going to be breaking down tomorrow. The Chiefs and Raiders, by the way, coverage all day long right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB before the game, early in the morning, and then on into the afternoon. I think 90% of the station works either here or at Arrowhead on a Sunday. A lot of guys here. So when you look at the Raiders, they're a team that was, I mean, it was going very wrong. They had they were piling up the losses to Washington and Denver and Baltimore and the Chargers. Then got it turned around a little bit. To you, are the Raiders a team that has found a couple of answers and a team that can compete for the division title? And with the Chargers, too, the Chargers figured something out. They started out losing a bunch of close games at the end of the game. They figured out how to get back on track and get wins. Are the Raiders a team that you consider serious contenders, not only for the division title, but to make maybe a second round in the playoffs?
I don't know if they'll make a second round. I think they'll be a serious contender here for the AFC West right now. I mean, Derek Carr's playing solid. The one thing that you have to say is the last 2 weeks, and I know it's the Giants and Denver, but their offensive line has played better. And, you know, here's one of the highest-priced offensive lines that didn't really do their job for most of the year, Brad. So that's another question mark. You go out and buy these guys, and it doesn't always work out for you either, too. So, but, you know, Washington's running the ball better. You know what Marshawn Lynch has done for him and everything. But this is a team, if they have some balance, they have some balance right now, I think they can compete. Changes at the defensive coordinator, it looks like there were some changes that, you know, has helped in terms of giving them a spark, putting people in position to make some plays. So, it's going to be a tough afternoon. You know, it's going to be a tough afternoon. I'm not sure if Amari Cooper is going to go in the game.
He's not going. He's out.
Is he out of the game? Okay, yeah. I thought it was still unknown on that. But, hey, listen, Seth Roberts has always had good games against us in the past. Cordell Patterson is another guy, a big wide receiver. So where the Chiefs are at without Marcus Peters, I suspect they might be putting the ball down the field against us.
Okay. Josh Briscoe, our producer, has corrected me. Amari Cooper is still listed as questionable, so I jumped the gun on that.
There was an original report that he was going to be out, and then the reporter got some more information, said now he's questionable, so it's up in the air.
It's up in the air.
I think if Amari Cooper can jog, he'll be in the game. He'll play in this game. That's how important it is for them. And you know, Jack Del Rio, he's the guy right now talking about chopping wood to these guys, and he's probably Jack's probably already ready to come down the field to play right now. So they're going to bring some intensity down there in the field, and I look for, you know, as I said, in, you know, the other side of the ball, how about Khalil Mack? The last 3 weeks, a sack in each game, some quarterback hits and everything. He's come alive. So the struggles we've had up front, always protecting, he's going to pose an issue for us, too, for that offensive line that hasn't been always the best in terms of protecting our quarterback.
And we're talking with former Chiefs offensive lineman Richard Baldinger. Okay, Raiders week this week, got the game tomorrow. If the Chiefs can somehow figure out a way to straighten themselves out, to be more competitive, to be more dominant the way they were in the first 5 weeks, if they can get that done over this stretch of games, you're still staring down the barrel at both Pittsburgh and New England. Personally, I don't believe this is a team that can hang with either in the playoffs. Now, they beat the Patriots in week one, but when it comes to the playoffs, I have not seen a team yet that's going to be able to hang in against those two teams.
How about even Jacksonville?
And Jacksonville, which is playing well. Tennessee. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, right now where we're at with this team, you know, we're just fighting. And that's what makes this tough. We're talking about, you break this conversation down, Brad. You can't even think about the playoffs. You're just trying to get a victory right now, trying to stem the tide. You know, forget about even improving the team. Where do we need? Just get a win. Do whatever you got to do to win. You know, cheat, lie, and steal if you had to. But get a win to stop this losing streak and get back on the track of some confidence and belief that you go out in the field and be a player. And, you know, we'll worry about the other things, but you are exactly right. Right now, you couldn't even imagine this team in the playoffs. You just couldn't imagine, hey, if it works out, great. What will take place, where we're at, the level of play, especially with the run defense last week. That's what really upset me against the Jets. We were getting knocked around, and, you know, the run game's a personal thing. You know, it's a brawl. You know, it's a guy punching you in the nose. Sooner or later, you know, you got to fight back. And we just didn't get it. So that's what worries me about this team. You know, is the fire still burning there for them? We're going to find out against this Raider team. And believe me, it doesn't have to be the Raider. It'd be anybody, because the way this team, Chiefs have been performing, let's just see if they really want to perform. And it starts tomorrow.
Are you listening to Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City? I am Brad Porter. We're visiting with Richard Baldinger, former offensive lineman for the Kansas City Chiefs. One final thing here, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on it because the Marcus Peters issue has been discussed, as one of my teachers used to say, ad infinitum. Hopefully I'm pronouncing that correctly. It's been discussed and cussed to death. But there has to be, you would hope that Marcus Peters gets the message, and, you know, he's suspended for the flag throwing. The guys on Good Morning of Football tweeted out that there was a verbal altercation with a coach on the bus after the Jets game on the way to the airport that may have led into this as well. But you would hope that Marcus Peters can figure it out, because he is a valuable player. He's valuable to the Chiefs. He's valuable to a team that needs him to perform to win. I would like to see him get it straightened out and figured out and win with the Chiefs and not go win with somebody else. But that's a big thing for Andy Reid, to suspend a player.
It is a big thing, but it needs to be done, Brad. Remember, one person isn't bigger than the unit. And this is a unit that's not playing well on defense. It's not a unit that's playing well on offense. So, you know, you've got to come together as a team on that field. And, you know, it might sound cliche, but it's the truth. And yes, we all know Marcus Peters' physical ability, his ability to find the ball, but what he does off the field and some of the theatrics, when a team's in the state that it is right now, a six-game losing streak, those type of things can be monumental compared to the mistakes you made on the field. And that's why he needed to be suspended, because what he's doing right now is so much more than any mistake he makes on the field. So Andy had no choice. I'm glad that he did it. I don't like to see any player did, but sometimes, hey, at whatever age, we all need a kick in the you-know-what. Straighten up sometimes that maybe this is the one thing that shows them that, you know, but listen, we need you on the field. We need your leadership with the way you play. Everything else just doesn't matter to this team, especially at this time when things are going bad.
All right, Richard Baldinger, I appreciate you joining us, my friend, and have fun tomorrow talking about the game. Hopefully, it's a Chiefs win, but they haven't shown any sign in the last 6 weeks that they can make that happen. But hopefully they find an answer against their division rival and the most hated team, at least by Chiefs fans.
Yeah, I hope being negative, the players prove me wrong. I'll be glad to eat crow as long as you get a victory.
That's what
I wish the best for them, too, and I appreciate you, too, buddy.
Yeah.
I look for a great game. It's going to be fun tomorrow.
Absolutely, Richard. Thank you very much, my friend. Enjoy the weekend.
You take care, sir. Bye.
All right, that's former Chiefs offensive lineman Richard Baldinger joining us here on Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. Like I said before, Richard and I worked for a long time together in television. Richard has, in my opinion, become one of the best analysts in town. He does a lot of college football, too. You may not know how much football Richard Baldinger watches over the course of a week. And at times, he's doing two college games on a Saturday, which I find absolutely amazing, but he's become one of the best in the business. And he talked about that brawler mentality. And just to be clear, he's not talking about actually getting in a fist fight on the field. It's the physical presence you have to demonstrate, in particular with the run game. And that hasn't happened over the last 5, 6, 7 weeks with the Chiefs. They have clearly not been able to run the football. And I don't understand. When I look at different things about why they are not running the football particularly well, are they getting away from the run game too fast? Are they getting away from the run game because they simply don't believe in it? Do they see one or two deep passes from Alex Smith to Tyreek Hill and think, okay, we're going to drop bombs all day, similar to how they started the first quarter against the Jets? Where is the issue? What is the issue with the inability to run the football? Do they not believe Kareem Hunt is physically able to do it at this point in the season? Obviously, they don't believe Akeem Hunt can do it. He rarely gets a carry in the game. He's mostly on special teams. But something there is not working. And if it doesn't work again against the Raiders, it could be over. I did read another interesting article about the Chiefs and addressing the problems that they're having. They're having a major issue on special teams. And this bothers me to no end. And I worked for many years with Danan Hughes, who was a great special teams player for the Chiefs, had a long career in the National League playing mostly on special teams. And when he was at Iowa, he was one of the best returners in the country. It kills me how many guys, regardless if it's the Chiefs or other teams in the National Football League, it bothers me how many guys take a ball 5 to 7 yards deep in the end zone and run it out. If you kneel down, they will give you 25 yards. You don't have to do a thing. And the National Football League says, we'll give you the ball on the 25-yard line. When you're taking the ball, and we saw it last week again, if you're taking the ball 5 and 7 yards deep in the end zone, just to get to the 25, you've got to go 30 and 35 yards. And the Chiefs have repeatedly tried to run it out of the end zone and have repeatedly put the offense in a bad spot with long field position. So that's one of the things they've considered this week is if you get the ball in the end zone, you're kneeling down. You're not bringing it out. We'll see if they are able to do that and communicate that. All right, we got more to talk about here. Coming up next after this break, we're going to talk to Al Fitzmaurice, former Royals pitcher, talk a little Royals baseball. And then remember, coming up at 5 o'clock, the Heisman Trophy presentation will be live right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. So a quick timeout. I'm Brad Porter, back with more Sports Saturday right after this. That's good stuff right there. Going into the last segment of the show here, Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. I am Brad Porter. Josh Briscoe has been running the board all day. We've had a lot of great guests on the show. And our final guest is right in line with those great guests. My good friend, a guy I worked with in television and radio for probably close to 25 years, talking Royals baseball, former pitcher Al Fitzmaurice. Fitzy, how are you on this Saturday afternoon?
Doing good, Brad. Doing great. Just kind of getting the house, I guess, Christmatized, for lack of a better word. So.
Christmatized. I like that.
Yeah, yeah.
You're going to have a lot of grandkids probably running around, right?
We're gonna have a few. Actually, my wife right now is over in St. Louis with a couple of the grandkids, and so she kind of left it up to me to get a few trees up. So you know, it will get done, but it's kind of taken a little bit more time than anticipated.
Well, she's not there to help you. It is gonna take more time.
Thing is, too many channels this day on TV. So.
We're talking with former Royals pitcher Al Fitzmaurice. Before we get to deep into the Royals, I never judge players on their talent versus what they're getting paid, because I just don't care. But
right.
But I'm always kind of curious when I see a certain big number, like Giancarlo Stanton moving to the Yankees, and it looks like the Yankees are going to pick up $260 to $265 million of his remaining salary. I'm always curious what George Brett would be worth on the open market today. At the top of his game.
You know, it's really hard to say. I mean, you know, he'd be somewhere in the, I'm sure, 18 to 20, 21, 21 a year. It's I'm kind of like, you look at some of these players and you go, wow, how are they making that kind of money? How are they paying out that kind of money? But you know what? It's kind of whatever the market will bear. I can't think of any ball player, unless they're totally lying, that, you know, if they're 1-20 and someone offered them, you know, $20 million a year, they're going to take it. I mean, you get to a point where you've done all you can, you got to provide for your family. So, I don't know. You know, there's a lot of players back in the day that would have been commanding some pretty, pretty big bucks. But, you know, when you look at it, and, you know, people ask, you know, me a similar question, and I go, I made more than Babe Ruth. You know, what? What's that tell you? So it's all relative.
Well, and it's good for the players, because you played in an era where the union had to stand up for player rights and getting a deserved cut. And under the direction of Rob Manfred as commissioner, and the commissioner before him, revenues have exploded in Major League Baseball, particularly their online products, which have millions of subscribers, and it's a worldwide product. So teams are flush with cash. Don't let any owner tell you or cry hard times, other than Derek Jeter. He's already begging for money after his group spent $1.2 million to buy the Marlins, which is hilarious. We're into the period where the owners, or rather the general managers and the front office staffs, are going to Orlando for baseball's winter meetings. Years ago, that's where hot deals were made. In the past 5 to 6 years, 7 years, teams have pumped the brakes on handing out the big contracts during the winter meetings. They have been taught, a lot of these executives have worked at the Major League Baseball office, and they've learned the system in which if they wait long enough, the players will give in and they can pay a little bit cheaper price. Now, they're still paying a high price for players, but if you're not the premium top 5 to 10 players, you may not get as much as you think you were going to get.
You know, it is kind of a wait and see now. And I think there's a lot of numbers that have been floating out there that are considerably higher than what the numbers are actually going to come down to. You know, everybody's going to reassess, you know, what they actually need, what the value is. And, you know, in listening to some of the talk about an agent, you know, or from an agent, you know, no one player guarantees getting into the playoffs. It just doesn't happen. You've got to have a surrounding cast. And I think that you can look at every team in baseball, and they at some point in time prove that. So, you know, people are a little more careful. They've got to assess what they've got. They've got to assess the chemistry and, you know, make decisions based on that, not the fact that, you know, you've got one guy that can go out there and hit like 30, 32, 33 home runs. You know, you've got to have a pitching staff. You've got to have other guys that drive in. It is kind of a wait and see right now. And the GMs are being a little smarter. The owners are being a little smarter. And, you know, about Stanton's contract, you know, I don't know how many people understand that the Yankees TV rights is in the billions.
Right.
So they can readily afford that.
We're talking with former Royals pitcher Al Fitzmaurice here on Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. I am Brad Porter. Fitzy, when we look at the Royals and where they may go over either the winter meetings next week or perhaps into late December, early January, they're kind of caught in that position of waiting for shoes to drop.
Right.
When and where is Hosmer going to sign? Is he coming back? When and where is Moustakas going to sign? Is he coming back? Lorenzo Cain, same thing. Alcides Escobar, same thing. Jason Vargas, same thing, although I believe he's gone or will be gone. So if you're Dayton Moore, what is your approach? Do you still go out and sign the type of players who will keep you competitive for this season, or do you sign the type of players that are simply out there to facilitate the game and get the payroll down or to keep it lower?
You know, I think you've got to kind of look at it from a couple of different ways. I, like everyone else, is a Royals fan. 2014 and 15 were some of my most exciting times, with the Kansas City Royals, be it a player, even from 85, I enjoyed 14 and 15 more so than I enjoyed, back in 85, for whatever reason, I'm not sure. But, we had these players last year and didn't pull it off. And so, you kind of got to look at that, kind of assess that, look at what it would cost you to retain that type of team, and would the outcome be any better? Houston, Cleveland, those teams aren't diminishing. And so you've got to see, where we stand. Not only, from a Hosmer Moustakas standpoint, what's the pitching staff going to be like? Because to me, that would have to vastly improve in order to be, really competitive. So, again, you've got to weigh the fact. And, with Hosmer, I think more so than anybody at any point in time is, the face of the Kansas City Royals. And, I think it would be a shame, if he were to go away. But at the same time, you've got to look at what he's going to command, what he's going to be able to, bring to the table with, maybe somewhat of a limited surrounding, cast. Salvi, is going to be back. Merrifield's going to be back, and there's going to be a few players. But, are they going to be able to produce enough runs with the pitching staff we've got in order to really contend? And so, from that standpoint, you have to kind of build a little bit.
You mentioned the pitching staff, and you're right, it is thin in terms of starting pitching in particular, depending on if they bring a player back or promote from within. One of the things that will change next season is the voice that the pitchers are going to hear. Dave Island was out at the end of the season. In fact, I think that was the first move on the coaching staff.
Right.
I know for the last few seasons, you have not been a fan or had not been a fan of Dave Island. What did you see that concerned you about the message the players were getting from Dave Island and that it was the right move to make to let him go?
This is just me, and I really haven't read any reasons as to why they let him go. But, I didn't personally see the pitchers getting better year in and year out. I saw some pitchers struggle, some pitchers fall off a little bit. The bullpen kind of, imploded. And I know, we didn't have Holland, we didn't have Davis anymore. But, I just didn't see, pitchers should get a little bit better every year. And we didn't, with the exception of Vargas. And I think most people would look at Vargas and see that, if you want to know what a player's going to do, look at his baseball card. He's going to be pretty much around the previous years. And Vargas, really surpassed that. Had a great year. Had a good half a year. But, I didn't see the pitchers making the improvements and the adjustments that they needed to make. And so I think as much as anything, and, maybe a few pitchers said something, I don't know. But I think as much as anything that I could see from afar, that may be, one of the reasons.
Well, they did make the change, and then they're going to have to cobble together another rotation and another bullpen. And there have been rumors around for close to 2 weeks now that the Royals are considering trading Kelvin Herrera, Joaquin Soria, perhaps Scott Alexander. I don't know what they would get back for those players, but if those moves are made and the replacements aren't there, then I'm not sure pursuing a high-priced free agent, though it might be your own, would be the course of action they would take.
Yeah, good point. Herrera last year, and you could kind of see it, just was a totally different pitcher. Having the ninth inning is totally different than what he was really accustomed to, which was the seventh inning. The seventh inning, if you make a few mistakes, if you allow a team to get back into the game, you still have two innings. And, of course, the Royals at that point in time, what they could do with two innings is like no club I'd ever seen. And they would get back into it. But now all of a sudden the entire burden was on you. And, I just don't think from a mental standpoint he could deal with it. Soria at one point in time was one of the, premier, relief pitchers. But, he makes mistakes out there and they get hit. When he's throwing the ball really well, he's still a really good pitcher. And, again, I think what they're going to do is weigh the amount of money they're paying on the return. And so it comes down to financial, because if they're trying to get to 120, then they've got to cut some people here and there. And the thing is that, if you're talking about if we have to let Soria go, you still bring Hosmer back. I don't think that's in the same conversation. I don't think that Soria is really a big difference maker. I think he can, definitely help your ball club, but he's not going to be a guy that, at least the last couple of years, he hasn't proven that he can solidify a bullpen.
We're talking with former Royals pitcher Al Fitzmaurice here on Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. I am Brad Porter. Kind of piggybacking off those last two topics, if you're trading bullpen pieces, then maybe you're not spending money on free agents. The coaching staff that they've put together for this season is one that I like all the guys on the staff. The new hitting coach is Terry Bradshaw, hasn't been a major league hitting coach. Cal Eldred is the new pitching coach. He's a nice person. He was a good player. Mitch Myers elevated to first base coach. He got some good time with the team last year while Rusty Kuntz was out injured. Vance Wilson is the bullpen coach. I'm not sure a bullpen coach matters anyway, but it looks like a coaching staff that's looking to get a team through a season. Nothing more, nothing less.
I don't know, to be honest. I don't know that much about what kind of input they've had either within the organization or other organizations. The one thing in regards to hitting is Dale Splendid is still supposed to, he's going to be around. So in a pinch, he can, he's going to help some hitters. But, I think the club's going to miss Rusty. Rusty was a pretty big presence. And, I think everybody questions certain moves. But I think that, I'm going to put my faith in Peyton Moore and what he's done with this organization. And, as far as putting the pieces together, getting the right people, as far as from a mentor standpoint, a teaching standpoint, a cohesiveness standpoint, and someone that works well with Ned, which is something, that's necessary. And again, Ned caught a lot of criticism until like 13, 14, 15, and 16, we just kind of ran out. But, he put three or four of the best years in Royals history together as a manager. And so, again, I'm going to kind of go with him on his choices.
That's probably a good call. We're talking with former Royals pitcher Al Fitzmaurice here on Sports Saturday. A couple of minutes left in the show here, Fitzy. As the Royals consider what course of action to take, whether or not they can hang on to one of the big dollar free agents, or if they're going young, if they decide that the best course of action is to go young, which means they're going cheap, which is fine. Teams do that. How quickly can Dayton Moore cobble it back together to build a contender that compete for another championship? Because it took, 7-8 years the first time around?
Yeah, it did. And I know Dayton Moore was a mastermind in putting together the 14 and 15 teams. And the unfortunate thing about it is we somewhat depleted the minor league system. So I'll be honest with you, I'm not 100% aware of how strong our minor league system is, but I know they've got a really good, you know, finger on the pulse of what's going on down in the farm and what's going on in actually instructional ball this year and the components that are out there. And, I keep coming back to Hosmer because he's one of my favorite people, players to watch, what he brings to the club. And again, you know, you've had his agent talking about what he can bring to another club, but he's not going to bring the same thing to any other club that he brings to the Royals because he's not going to be – you don't just join a team and become that leader. You just don't join a team and all of a sudden everybody's your best friend. One of the things about, you know, playing baseball is that you want to win. You always want to win, but you want to win with your friends. I think that's really key. And, you know, he's grown up with most of these guys at some point. Of course, you know, they're going to go their different ways. But Moose, Haas, Salvi, Duffy are kind of the guys that came up together. The other players, you know, they kind of put together. But when he goes to Boston, you know, he's not going to be held a high like he is in Kansas City. You know, maybe at some point if he, you know, were to stay there for a number of years and were to produce, yeah. But you know, it's going to be totally different. And I know he visited San Diego, and I don't know why he would want to go through that. I mean, you know, I grew up in San Diego. If I had been given a chance at some point in time, I would love to have played there just, you know, for the weather. But as far as he wanting to be a part of a contending ball player or ball club, he would pretty much be it.
Yeah, and we had David Leske on earlier from Baseball Prospectus, and he said actually the Padres have some up-and-coming young talent in the minor league system, but, you know, that might take a few years to pay off. And frankly, I don't trust anything the Padres front office does because everything they've done for the past 3 and 4 years has completely backfired. In fact, their general manager got suspended at one point because he was so underhanded with how he dealt with other teams. So I don't trust – hard for me to trust a guy who's been suspended by Major League Baseball. Hey, Fitzy, I'm just about out of time. I just want to say good to talk to you again, and I hope you and your family have a great holiday and Christmas season, and go run around with those grandkids and have some fun, all right?
I'm going to do that. You too, Brad. Have a great holiday.
All right, that's former Royals pitcher Al Fitzmaurice joining us here on Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Well, after talking to David Leske and Al Fitzmaurice today, I'm not sure I got a better handle or a better feel on what the Royals are going to do or what they need to do. But I'm a little more excited for the winter meetings that we have coming up. I want to thank all of our guests this afternoon. Great, great people. Voice of the Jayhawks, Brian Haney. You can hear him tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, Arizona State at Kansas. Former Sporting KC and Kansas City Wizards defender Nick Garcia joined us. That was a good conversation. David Leske from Baseball Prospectus. Richard Baldinger, former Chiefs offensive lineman. And Al Fitzmaurice. Special thanks also to Josh Briscoe, running the board today. Did a great job running everything over there and making me look halfway intelligent. I am Brad Porter. Thanks for tuning in to Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We will see you next time.